Hello, and welcome to this installment of Podcast TMA, brought to you by the Texas Medical Association, physicians caring for Texans since 1853. I'm your host, Steve Levine, coming to you from TMA headquarters in Austin, Texas. Today's topic, as prosaic as it might seem at first, is the medical record. Regardless of your specialty, the medical record is the heart of your practice. A good medical record is vital for clinical, business, and legal reasons. Today's conversation is based on the release of our second volume of Greatest Hits from TMA's Practice Management E-Tips. To download the Greatest Hits or read through our other tips on medical records, please check out the TMA website at www.texmed.org/tips. Our guests today are two of Texas Medical Association's expert staff members. Lee Spangler is TMA's Associate General Counsel. He's an attorney with extensive knowledge and expertise in health law and medical ethics. Shannon Moore is director of our Health Information Technology Department. Shannon and her team are your trusted advisors on HIT adoption and implementation. A warm welcome to both of you. Lee, this is the first time we've had an attorney join us on Podcast TMA, so I want to make sure that all of our listeners understand your role and your comments. Do you want to give us some understanding about the understanding and the information you'll be sharing today?
Well, I think the key phrase is information. What I'm going to provide is general information on a topic, and I'm going to provide comments on it. This is not specific legal information and not advice. I'm a TMA attorney. I'm not the attorney for the listeners, so they need to take any specific issues they have and meet with their legal counselor before they proceed. They really shouldn't take this as advice.
I knew that's what you were going to say, but we had to get it down there. Lee, you know, the most frequently asked question that comes into the TMA Knowledge Center concerns medical records. Physicians and our office staff are always asking us, how long do I have to keep patients' records? So what's the answer you have for them, Lee?
It is 7 years from the anniversary of the last date of treatment for adults. If you treat minors, you need to retain those records until that person is 21 or 7 years from the last date of treatment, whichever is later. And that's the rule laid down by the Texas Medical Board.
Any idea why that's such a commonly asked question?
Because most practices don't know it. It is a rather esoteric issue that is not taught in medical school. Medical school and residency programs teach physicians how to create medical records. They don't really teach them about the regulations on how long to keep them. They're focused on patient care.
What about when the time comes to get rid of those records, Lee? You can't just throw confidential patient information into the trash can. What's the best approach?
Well, you can just throw it in a trash can. You just end up before the medical board or drawn into a dispute with the Office of Civil Rights at the federal level for HIPAA privacy regulation issues. There is no law or reg that actually states how a medical record should be destroyed. There's just that you need to protect the confidentiality. So generally, risk managers will recommend hiring a firm that does document destruction, making sure you get a certificate from that entity showing that the records have been destroyed. And then also you want to maintain a list of the patient names along with perhaps the date the records were destroyed. That way you can discern between appropriately destroyed documents and lost medical records. But basically, you should have them destroyed.
Speaking of lost medical records, all this talk of paper records, Shannon, is one of the factors that frequently leads doctors to start looking at the electronic medical record. How does a practice know whether the time is right to make that big plunge?
That is a really good question that many physicians ask. There are so many variables to consider. It really requires just taking a step back and analyzing where the practice is today and what are the goals of the practice. For example, if you're a physician in a solo practice and you plan to retire in the next 5 years, it would not make sense to invest in an EMR. However, a physician fresh out of residency wanting to start a new practice would definitely want to open the practice with an EMR in place. While there are many good reasons to invest in an EMR, such as greater quality of care, increased patient safety, and improved office efficiency, there are still some reasons that may make you want to step back and pause. For example, if you're in a practice with 10 physicians and not all physicians are in agreement about the technology needs of the practice, then it would be wise to wait. It really would not make sense to make a large investment only to have 50% of the practice utilizing that investment. The decision regarding the readiness of the practice to implement an EMR is individual to that particular practice. Team A has plenty of tools and resources to assist you with that decision. In fact, the HIT section of the Team A website, we have a white paper entitled, Is It Time for Your Practice to Adopt an EMR? And this focuses primarily on helping physicians decide if the time is right. There are numerous other tools on the HIT section of the Team A website that will help you determine readiness. If the practice is ready, then there are also plenty of resources to assist with selection and implementation. And of course, the staff in the Team A's HIT department are also available for guidance. I cannot stress enough that it is vital for a practice to be informed and educated prior to making the investment of time and money.
Speaking of money, let's say I decide I am ready. How much should I be prepared to spend to buy the right EMR for my practice? Shannon?
That is not a simple answer, and I wish it were. A recent TMA survey indicated that the median reported implementation cost per physician was $25,000, and there's substantial variation. 18% reported prices less than $5,000, and 17% with prices above $50,000. It's not just the cost of the software. There are fees for data conversion, if you're going to transfer data from your practice management system. There are fees for interfaces to labs and pharmacies. There are the installation cost, training cost, and those training costs can vary significantly depending on how computer savvy your office staff are. There's also the cost of updating your hardware. You may need to add a server or two to your office. And then do you want computer terminals in every exam room? So you need to add that hardware. So there are a lot of things to consider. And I don't say this to discourage EMR adoption, but rather just to give a realistic approach as to the questions that you should ask the vendors when purchasing, that it's not just the price of the software. There are many other things to consider. And it really requires research and careful thought. Another thing I really encourage physicians to consider is that when they do purchase, they set up payment plans with the EMR vendor so that you don't make that lump payment up front. This will keep the vendor dedicated to your project if you have timelines in place so that as they reach those milestones, they receive payments as they complete that for you.
Shannon, you mentioned a range of $5,000 to $50,000 per physician. That's a huge range. Does it really depend on what they've already got in place or what they're buying? What makes such a big difference?
Well, it's like buying a car. You've got the lower end, and then you've got the Cadillac. And it really depends on what kind of bells and whistles you want to have in place for your office.
So those bells and whistles cost quite a bit.
Yes, they do.
Lee, from a legal perspective, does it really matter whether a practice uses paper or electronic medical records? Do laws like HIPAA, for example, do they apply equally? And are there any special legal concerns that physicians should focus on when it comes to liability regarding electronic patient records?
Actually, Steve, there are more laws that apply to electronic medical records than apply to paper records. Let's just talk about HIPAA for one second. Under the HIPAA privacy regulations, all practices must comply with those if they transmit information electronically for billing, for instance. But for the HIPAA security regulations, they do not apply to practices that have paper-only systems. They apply to practices that have electronic systems. The HIPAA security regulations are common sense computer-related regulations in that they do things such as require backups, require some sort of security on the electronic system so that they're not just open to anyone who might come across a terminal or gain access to the network.
Would that be something just like a username and password?
Yes, actually it would be something to ensure, but that also ensures the reliability of the medical record that is created by the EMR so that you know who the clinical observer was. And that kind of gets us to the medical liability issues. Between paper records and electronic records, there's no difference so long as you can say that this electronic medical record system is reliable, that it is good as evidence, so that you know who entered the record, who modified the record if it was modified. If that all can be tracked, then it's just as good as a paper record.
So there aren't any special concerns that physicians using electronic records have to take from a liability perspective?
No, not really. Not as long as they've got a good system that tracks who's making the observations.
Well, I think we've talked a lot about a lot of different issues related to medical records in this short time period. This is one of our quick podcasts. We're not going to go on and on, so I'll open it up one last opportunity here. Any last comments from either of you? Shannon?
Yes, I do want to mention that last summer TMA did release an EMR implementation guide. This is available for free to physicians. It also has a CME component and a TMLT liability discount available. And if you are interested in receiving that, we can send that to you again free by calling the Knowledge Center at 800-880-7955. And again, the TMA HIT Technology Department, we are ready to help you. We don't pretend to know all the answers that you may have, but we will certainly help you find them.
Lee?
Don't worry about the legal aspects. Worry about the patient issues that face you when you're dealing with a decision about whether or not to go to electronic records or to maintain paper records. It's your practice should focus on your patient. The laws come secondarily, and you can always get a good advisor to help you bridge the gap.
Well, thank you both. That's it for this installment of Podcast TMA. Thanks to everybody for listening, and special thanks to our guests, Shannon Moore, Director of the Health Information Technology Department here at TMA, and Associate General Counsel Lee Spangler. If you want to read more about this topic or peruse our other medical records greatest hits, please check out the TMA website at www.texmed.org/tips. Our theme music is a song called Expedition, written and performed by the Austin band Girl in the Closet. I'm your host, Steve Levine. See you next time on Podcast TMA.